You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition. I'm Anthony Kastrowitz. I am pleased to be joined by my good buddy Jim Rosenhaus of the Indians Radio Network, pinch hitting for Jordan Bastion this week. Rosie, we are so glad to have you once again. And this week, kind of looking at things from the big picture standpoint, and the Indians, of course, a certain magazine, Sports Illustrated, had them on a regional cover and picked them to win the World Series. Things got off to that. That made some people uncomfortable in the Cleveland area with the sporting history here. Things got off to a rough start. Obviously, the Indians have played a little bit better here before the break. In your mind, what is the overall, the big key to this club making a second-half surge and living up to that prediction?
Well, they'll have to get continued, not just good starting pitching, but outstanding starting pitching. And we saw that. You can't expect what they did in the Tampa Bay series last week to continue. But I think we saw in the second half of last year that when that starting rotation gets on a roll, they can take this team a long way. And then it takes a little bit of the pressure off of the offense. They've struggled to score runs consistently. They've had some stretches where it's worked out okay, but they just haven't been able to put together long stretches of good, consistent offense, and that's really hurt them. So the starting pitching is going to carry this club, and we'll see if they can get on the kind of roll that they did in the second half a season ago.
I'd say on measure, the starting pitching has been as advertised. Now, of course, it depends on how realistic your thoughts were going into the year. If you thought Carlos Carrasco and Corey Kluber are going to be 1 and 2 in the Cy Young vote in no particular order, you know, that hasn't come true. But you know, those guys have been terrific overall. Trevor Bauer has really made a lot of strides. He hasn't pitched as well at home as on the road for whatever reason, but he's certainly becoming the pitcher they envision. And the rotation's all the more deep now that Cody Anderson's really stepped into that fifth slot and pitched so well.
And, you know what, Anthony, too, I think the thing is that if you look at in terms of experience and how that can come into play, Kluber was the only pitcher heading into the season who had worked a full season in a starting rotation, and that was a Cy Young Award-winning year last year. So, yeah. You know, you're asking some younger major league starters, and not only age-wise but experience-wise, okay, go ahead and go log 200 innings and be outstanding every time out. That's hard to do at this stage of their careers. But we've seen flashes of that, and I think overall you would take the starting pitching that the Indians have had. It's been solid, and they had a little trouble filling that fifth spot early in the season, but now Anderson has just come on and been a real nice surprise for them in his three major league starts. So the earmarks are there for something very good, you know, I really think Mickey Callaway said this back in April. He said, for whatever reason, our starters the last 2 years, this was heading into this season, have been better in the second half. They've gotten better as the season has gone along each season. So I think that's what they're banking on, and then we'll see if they can get that rolling again.
Offensively, you kind of shudder to think where this club would be without Jason Kipnis' contributions here this year. It's been a remarkable turnaround from last year where, of course, he was hurt and that messed with his swing and his numbers overall. And not only that, Rosie, but it's also a remarkable turnaround from April. You know, he didn't play particularly well in April. And, boy, May, June, and now July, he's obviously whipped himself into all-star shape and put up some of the best numbers in the league at any position, let alone second base.
It's been fun to watch. And, you know, you mentioned April, but I think in spring training – and then that first month of the year, you saw the good signs. Not necessarily numbers-wise in the month of April, but he was driving the ball the other way. And when Jason Kipnis is going well, he's hitting the ball hard to left, center, and left with a lot of power. And you saw that early in the season that to some extent was hitting in some hard luck and that type of thing. But the line drives were there and the good plate appearances were there. And now these last 2 months have been just absolutely tremendous. And he's played some pretty good defense, too. Just a different guy coming into the season. It's funny, you look back at his off season, and so many players take swings in cages for a good portion of their off season and are hitting the ball a lot before they even get to spring training. He couldn't do that this year because he had that the finger injury when he dropped some weights on it back in December, and he really couldn't swing a bat much until he got out to Goodyear. And I'm going to say that that helped him. I think sometimes it just allowed him to focus on his body, getting himself completely healthy and ready to go for a new season, and it really seems to have paid off.
Sometimes less is more. And that's what you do in the winter too, Rosie, right? You focus on your body.
Absolutely. I mean, it definitely shows when you get to spring training.
Totally. For the obviously, they made what maybe you could project to be the big internal shakeup that they could make going into the year. And by that, I mean they shook up the left side of the infield with Francisco Lindor and Giovanni Urshela. What have been your thoughts on those guys now? It's been basically a month of having both those guys up in the big leagues. What's been your takeaway of the impact on that, on the club, and kind of how that projects going forward here in the second half?
Extremely positive. Both have been rock solid defensively. Urshela at third base has been just tremendous defensively, and they're holding their own at the plate. I mean, these are young major leaguers, and they're doing okay at the plate. They've come up with some key base hits. And the other thing that they've done, especially Lindor, he brings an enthusiasm and a joy for the game that I don't know if it rubs off on his teammates, but they seem to like having him around, and that's been kind of fun. And you know, he'll make a play, whether it's a mistake or a good play, and he's got a big smile on his face, and he just he brings a certain joy to the game that's fun to watch. And I would imagine as a teammate, is fun to be around, and actually Jason Kipnis talked about it the other night. He said it's fun watching the two kids just off to the other side of the infield from him really get after it in their first major league season, and they both have been quality additions for what they're doing performance-wise, but I think also other things that they bring to the table.
That's a great point. Yeah, Lindor definitely has some swagger to him, and you need a little of that in your clubhouse for sure. As we look ahead here, Rosie, what I'd imagine it would involve, somebody in the lineup. Just being that offense has been the more inconsistent area for them. Who in your mind is the big X factor here in the second half?
I think without question, Carlos Santana. He's had a disappointing season that's been getting worse as it's been going along. He's been hitting about .160 for almost a month now. So, he draws his walks, but he's in a spot in that lineup, the fourth and fifth spot in the lineup, where they need him to drive in runs, and he's not doing it. And it's killing this offense. And he needs to be the Santana that we've seen in the past. Last year, it got off to a slow start, but from the end of May on, he was a proven run producer in that lineup, and he has been in the past. And that's why, you know, the Indians want to be as patient as they possibly can with him, but it's becoming more and more frustrating by the day, because it just seems that there have been so many opportunities for the Indians to score some more runs, whether it's to pad a lead or get back in a game, and he'll come up in a key spot, and he just hasn't been able to come through. And it's been a real mystery for Terry Francona, for Ty Van Berkley, the hitting coach. They just can't put their finger on why he's been unable to catch fire like his track record would suggest. That's, I think, the frustrating thing is, the talent's in there, we've seen it, and the track record is there, but it just hasn't come together this season.
Yeah. You know, one thing with the Indians, Rosie, we're talking so much about the trade deadline now in Major League Baseball with that coming up, and there are teams that are going to have to make those hard-line decisions, buyer or seller, and some in between. For the Indians, it seems somewhat clear-cut to me in that, there's no one obvious spot in you're not going to trade for somebody to replace Carlos Santana, basically. You know, he might be the weak link in the lineup right now, but it's not like you're going to add somebody to replace him. You're not going to really sell because, you know, who would you sell off when it comes to pending free agents? You're not going to trade away Mike Aviles. Maybe David Murphy, if Nick Swisher is healthy in particular, but even then, I mean, would the return be great enough to cash in there? So I guess what I'm saying is the front office is almost in a really good spot in that, you know, kind of standing pat just seems kind of the obvious move here, basically, and let it ride and see if this club has it in it from within to make that run. What are your thoughts on all that?
I tend to agree with you because, if they're in a position where they really stumble into the trade deadline and it just doesn't look like it's a situation where they can get out of it, I'm not exactly sure. They're not going to trade away their young pitching. There's no way they're going to do that. And you know, their key position players are under contract for a while. So it is kind of a tricky spot if they do end up being sellers. Now, if they're buyers, you know, what do they want to give up to try and get something back, whether it be some sort of impact bat, if that's indeed out there, with so many teams looking for the same thing. But also, you know, I think they'd like to have a little depth in terms of pitching, whether it's bullpen or rotation, because when you look down below, Anderson has been a great surprise, but past him, I don't know that there's much ready to go here at the major league level. They could turn back to Sean Markham again. He's still at AAA, and he did give them a couple of strong starts when he did come up, but that's about it in terms of major league ready starting pitching. So I think starting pitching depth and then an impact bat, if they are indeed buyers at the trade deadline, is something they'd look for. But again, what do you give up to try and get that?
Absolutely. All right. Well, we'll see if the Tribe can make a run in the second half and prove certain publications correct. And we're going to let Jim Rosenhaus get back to working on his body. I want to thank you all for tuning in. Thank him for joining us. This has been MLB.com Extras, Cleveland Indians edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.